This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Waikato on Free FM 89.0, and as part of our podcast series, you're listening to Roseanne Murray, and I have in the studio with me today Kim Cable, who is our Marketing and Communications Manager. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you.
It's great to have you with us today. We were sort of talking the other week about wouldn't it be a great opportunity to get you to come along and have a chat around some of the do's and don'ts of marketing for our community organisations. And at a time when, you know, we're hearing out there all the time about, you know, how you tell your story and maybe more effectively telling your story and what to do and what not to do. So why not have you in the studio to help tell everyone all about that? So you've got a good list of things to do and don't, so it's all yours.
Thanks, Roseanne. I'm happy to come in to have a chat and hopefully provide some information that's going to be a little bit useful for people that are listening. So we'll start with our marketing do's. So the first one is do define the audience that you're speaking to before you create your message. So for us, that would look like the different audiences that we speak to would be community organisations, trusts, marae, Māori organisations, funders, volunteers, and so on. So it's about knowing your audience before you communicate with them.
That is a very good point to make. Yep, very good.
And then the next thing, just to build on that, is once you know your audience, then you can develop the right channels for that audience to communicate through. So you match your message to where the people are most likely to see it. We use Weekly Bulletin, which is a bulletin we send out to our sector weekly, filled with our news and sector news. We have also the Kumara Vine, which is a quarterly newsletter, and that's more article-based, and it's for an audience that wants to read a little bit more and find out a bit more detail about the sector and also about what organisations are doing that work within our sector. Obviously our website, which I think most organisations now would have a website that they're managing and maintaining. Social media, even if it's just Facebook, that's somewhere to really build a great relationship with your audience. Maybe direct outreach. You might be talking to people face-to-face through forums, networks, you name it. There's loads of different channels to reach people, and it's up to you to find the right way to connect with your audience.
And I know that with a lot of organisations that we've been working with, they're like, oh, you know, should we have Instagram? Should we have TikTok? You know, and all of these other different social media platforms. But key point I've just picked up from you is, first of all, knowing who your audience is. Because if, let's just say, we're working with a lot of our older communities, they might not be on TikTok or anything like that. So it's just being able to match that up, isn't it?
It is. And maybe the great thing about being, if it's online, you can get all the stats of who is where. So maybe it's not about assuming, but testing the waters, but also being realistic about what resource that you have in-house. So while it may be great to be across all the social media platforms, you may find that there's one that just has better outreach than all the others. And it's better to do one and do it really, really well rather than try and do a lot and not maintain them properly.
Yeah. So it's about that quality versus quantity, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, most definitely. All right.
Okay, so then I guess the next bit leads into a bit of storytelling. Do lead with your organisational purpose and value and try and wrap those up in a story. So for us, it's about making it easy for people to understand who Community Waikato is, who we support, the work that we do and why it's important. So for any organisation, that's basically the gist of your storytelling, your why.
Yep. Yeah, and especially I think if you're looking for, people or different organisations to partner with you, even if it's around looking at potential funders or sponsors, yeah, they need to know what is your why, and
yes,
and then does that actually resonate with them, and does that sort of maybe fit within, you know, the priorities of what they're trying to achieve?
Yes. So your why, your story, is the basis of what builds your brand.
Yeah.
So every organisation has a brand, and some organisations spend time developing and building that brand, and some don't. And I guess what you need to try to make sure is that every staff member understands your common story. Otherwise, you're out there communicating different stories. Mm. And this is where your logo and your colours and your stories, they can all complement that story, so that you're making sure that you are being consistent, that people are getting a consistent impression of you. And then it lends itself to, you know, telling that story through all the different channels in lots of different ways. And that's where the fun bit is. It might be through creating video. It might be through creating cool graphics, or, I don't know, using AI imagery, telling the same story.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love how you've picked up around the values as well.
So at the core of your story of who you are is your purpose and your values.
Yep.
Yeah, so those values are your values that guide the decisions you make within your organisation.
And then, obviously the next step would be around the actual content, isn't it?
The actual doing. So do create practical, helpful content. So for Community Waikato, that looks like sharing guidance, funding tips, workshop information, stories, and resources that help community leaders take the next step with confidence. So it's not about just filling a gap with fluff. It's about actual meaningful information for our audiences. Sometimes that can be light.
Mm-hmm.
It can be fun, if that's appropriate for your audience and for the message you're trying to get across. And other times it might be serious, or it might just be really practical, telling people about legislative changes that are coming. But you know, once you've gotten to this point, this is where you can also bring in a little bit more creativity, I guess, and the look and feel of your communication message.
Yeah, and I suppose it's like if, depending on the organisation, if you've got some key events coming up, this is where obviously then you would be able to help get that message out there about those events as well, through the content.
Yes, and when you're thinking about your channels, don't forget that you can use other people's channels as well, communication channels. So if you're in the Waikato or in your community organisation, we have a lot of communication channels that you can tap into. You can send your messages through to us and we'll use our database. There's libraries where you can put information up. There's all sorts of places that will send out your messages for you.
Yep. And I just think with the actual channels that you use, I'm just sort of backtracking there a little bit. I met with a group the other day and they have an audience where internet access is still a challenge. They live in, it's a rural, fairly isolated community. And so it's about understanding that social media may be a great channel for a certain amount of the community, but you may need to also look at having a backup sort
Absolutely.
Of medium to use
yeah.
as well. So they still do a newsletter that gets printed and people can pick it up from the local dairy.
Yeah. So I guess back in the day when internet was a challenge for all of us,
mm-hmm.
we had
up.
To, yes, or even before then, we did have to come up with other ways to communicate.
Mm.
And that might look like town hall meetings and, you know, much more face-to-face engagement, which actually has its advantages.
Mm.
It's not as quick and easy, and it's, you know, a lot more resource required for that kind of engagement. But it still works.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very good. And just with, I suppose, the social media channels, like, yeah, finding out, you know, which one is going to work best for your audience. I suppose it's just thinking of around how often you utilise it. Like,
yeah.
You know, So, instead of bombarding people, that sort of frequency, I suppose, is where I'm coming from.
The truth is there is no one size fits all.
Yep.
It depends on your audience and your message. Ideally, you'd be posting something new for a community organisation that's small, I guess, at least changing it out weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Others, you know, it might be almost daily that you might have a new message. If it goes too long, you won't really be building a relationship with your audience if you're not giving them a chance to see new content and engage with you. But it's like a weekly bulletin. I was wondering whether weekly was too often for our bulletin to go out.
Mm-hmm.
But we know based on our, because you can measure anything that's online as to who clicks, who opens, how many people subscribe, how often they send me information to put into it, that actually weekly is fine for that communication. It's actually, you know, it's building really, really well and it's really well read.
Mm.
So I guess it's not about assuming, it's about looking at the numbers and seeing what actually is the truth. And remembering on social media that not every message should be a promotion. You know, if you're always trying to sell a thing to someone, then mm-hmm. they're not going to want to see it as often. But sometimes it might be starting a conversation about, I don't know, something that's topical to the sector. Another time it might be just a Friday light funny or showing the people behind the scenes that are doing the work. You know, there's all sorts of different ways that you can show information. Video, reels, posts, photos, use all the different ways so that you're keeping your page fresh.
Yeah, I know from our community Waikato perspective, what you're really good at is when we go to different events, like the other week we were up at Mangatauturi at the Sanctuary Mountain, and you got it. Here was Kim with her camera, and only probably 2 hours later on Facebook was just showing everyone not only the amazing mountain itself, but us out there.
It's
a great time.
It's important, the mahi that we do, that people know who we are mm. and the values that we have. So a big part of that is showing our team. So that's why I do that.
Yeah. And I have noticed actually lately, I've seen on Facebook where you get these different random posts, a few organisations now doing a spotlight or a highlight on a particular staff member.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing like weekly, you know, this is so-and-so, you know, who's the behind-the-scenes person or whatever it might be.
And
so
you often find those are the posts that get the most engagement.
Mm, yeah. You know, especially if it's maybe someone that you might only speak to on the phone or behind a keyboard or something, it's really good to see it's a real live person and what they do and maybe what their interests are and why they actually, what's their why they came to be working for that organisation.
I will admit that I don't probably do as many posts on Facebook that I should be, but it comes down to resource, time, and also the advisors in our team go out and about a lot more than I do. So the content that they can capture is probably more exciting to our audience than the content that I necessarily can capture. And so I take every advantage I can when I'm out and about to get the content that I think is great for our Facebook page. And I guess if I could try to improve something in our organisation, it's just to try and get our whole team just simply taking a photo and sending me a message about what that photo is so that I can share some of these stories. Because I know that there's some absolutely amazing places that our team go to, and there's some amazing work that we're seeing getting done.
Mm.
And often taking a photo is the last thing we think about doing.
Yep, okay, I'll put my hand up. I'm one of those, yes.
It's not a growling, it's just an opportunity to improve.
Yes, so it's a good challenge out there to our team, I think, to see who can get the most photos in over the next month or two anyway.
Yeah.
No, that's all good.
As you will hold a competition, that gets our team...
does. Going. Yes, we tend to be fairly competitive in that respect anyway. So that probably follows on. We started talking a little bit about, you know, clicks and feedback and how we track what was working, don't we?
So another do is do track what is working.
Mm-hmm.
Also track what isn't working.
Mm.
Track everything. So that's the beauty about the digital world is you can track everything. If I send out a newsletter, I know how many clicks, I know who's clicked, I know what they've clicked on. And you can review sign-ups, you can review if people have chosen to unsubscribe, you can look at attendance at workshops, you can look at feedback that's received, you can go out and seek feedback. So we do that, you know, with our conference, definitely, we send out a feedback form and ask for that feedback. And then we can use that information to help shape what we do next. So it might be, this works really well, let's keep doing more of that. This didn't work so well, let's change it a bit, let's try something else.
Mm. Yeah, some good feedback there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And our next do is do build trust through relationships. So at the end of the day, it's all about relationships. And for us, it's using a warm, respectful, community-centred tone that reflects partnership, manaakitanga, long-term connection. The way we work is side by side with people that we work with, not asserting ourselves over top of them. And those long-term relationships, we've been around for quite a while now, Community Waikato, and we have some great relationships with our funders, with our community houses, with our community organisations, and we're starting to build more relationships in other areas perhaps that we haven't.
And I think that's a really great example about building relationships. And this morning I was at the Well Energy Trust annual general meeting, actually the other day, and just a lot of different organisations were there and people I hadn't seen for a while, but it was a great opportunity just to go and catch up with them. And then quite often the conversation will turn to, so what have you been doing, you know, sort of what organisations you've been working with and what are you hearing out there, you know, what are you seeing out there. So it's just a great way to be able to sort of just keep building those relationships, keeping those connections going. And maybe that's an opportunity for you to be telling the story about your organisation as well.
Absolutely it is. And it's also an opportunity, and something we're doing more and more is to collaborate. So where we find organisations who might have a similar vision to ours or project or co-pup or whatever, collaboration can happen through having relationships where that trust has been built.
Yes.
And that's something I think we're doing more and more of,
mm-hmm.
is collaboration. And when the chips are down, when something happens, like there's a pandemic or whatever, those relationships is often what you can draw on to get you through.
Yep. Okay. And probably, would you say to a certain extent, consistency and talking about, you know, with our branding and things like that as being consistent with what it is that you are putting out, especially maybe making sure it is the same logo, those sorts of things.
Yeah, there are some rules around branding, and they don't exist just because we're wanting to be strict. It's just that if you're consistent over a long period of time, people then recognise you. When they see your logo, they know automatically who you are,
mm.
because you've built up a story around your organisation, and that logo's a symbol of who you are,
mm.
or your sign, or your, when they listen to Free FM, your podcast,
mm-hmm.
They know Community Waikato, I've built a relationship with them, I trust them. So yeah, that's what being consistent is about. It's about building trust. That we are who we say we are, and we're not going to kind of suddenly be something different tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Some good advice there. Thank you for that, Kim, and some great do's around marketing.
Yeah.
And then the flip side of that is...
Oh, actually, I've added one more do. Sorry,
you've
Roseanne,
added another do. That's
because
all right.
I think it's too big a do to ignore. And that's do continue to learn about all the different marketing tools that are out there. So I am currently learning as much as I can about AI. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I can ignore. It's something that's here, and it's actually something that's going to help me in my marketing practice. Mm. So I'm choosing to embrace it as a really positive thing. It can help with my, right from the strategic planning right through to the creativity, understanding data. It's just understanding all the ways that it can help me, and also where not to use it, where it's more appropriate to not use AI. So yeah, that's something I would recommend. That's something I'm currently doing, is continuing to learn, which everyone should continue to learn in their field. And for me, that's AI marketing tools.
Right. Okay. So there's a little shout out there for everyone. First of all, around we should all be continuing to learn, whatever it might be, in our lifetime. And you're never too old to learn.
No, even if it's uncomfortable and we think it worked perfectly well before, there could be a better way, and there likely is a better way to reach people.
Right. And as you say, AI is not going away, and probably to look at how you can embrace it positively going forward.
Yeah.
And how it can help enable you or your organisation as well.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it can sharpen up your communications, definitely. If you're not a writer, but you can write a prompt, you can get some good, you know, information. But just remember to double check everything that you write. Just double check it's the truth.
Correct. Yeah. No, that's a good tip there. All right. So the don'ts.
Don'ts.
What don't we want to be doing?
Okay. So the first one is don't try to speak to everyone at once. Mm-hmm. So I've talked about knowing your target audience, and if, like us, you have lots of audiences, generic messages that try to get to everybody can sometimes miss the needs of specific groups. So you need to tailor your content, your message, for the particular group that you're wanting to hear it. So if it's a Māori organisation, speak to them. If it's a politician, speak to them. So even though you might have one newsletter, within that newsletter you might have lots of different messages that are targeted at different audiences for people. You know, people will be drawn to the message that actually resonates with them. So we would be telling funders a different story than what we're telling people that come to our workshops, or, you know, it's about tailoring the message to the audience. And I think that seems obvious because that's what we do in real life when we're communicating with people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's something you can forget to do when it's low budgets and you just want to tell people a message. You might think, I'll just tell everybody.
Yep. So no, just copy and paste.
No, not just copy and paste. Copy, paste, and then review and tweak. And yeah.
All right. That's a good piece of advice. Thank you for that.
That's okay. And the next don't is don't assume. So for us, don't assume people already know what Community Waikato does. Mm. Just because we've been around for, I think it's more than 20...
It must be about 24, 25 years around there.
No? There will be a lot of people that don't know what we do, particularly those outside the sector in the Waikato.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the sector, there'll be volunteers, there'll be people that don't understand the support or the service that we provide. So have that information available and easy for people to find. Briefly be able to explain the support available. We have advisory support, funding guidance, workshops, events, and DIY resources, how they can find those resources. Just have your information ready and ensure that all staff, when they're speaking to people at networking events, they have that in the back of their mind. Actually, this person might not know anything about us, so let's assume they don't.
Yep. So another good reason to make sure you're very clear about your why, and that all of your staff or volunteers even all understand the why of that organisation.
Yes. Yes.
Very good.
So the next don't kind of relates back to the do track what is working. Mm-hmm. So don't rely on guesswork. Use evidence from engagement, conversations, registrations, community feedback to guide what to promote and how to say it. So I can think of one example of this. I remember talking to somebody who said to me, he doesn't believe in newsletters. Just because he doesn't believe in newsletters, he didn't want his organisation to send out newsletters. But at the end of the day, a newsletter is a communication channel.
Mm-hmm.
And if that channel reaches your audience in an appropriate way, then that's an effective channel. So all that really mattered was whether it works or not, whether you personally like it. And I might have some things that I prefer not to do. For example, I don't actually love using social media for business. Mm-hmm. However, it's too obvious that that's a great way to reach people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be not doing my job properly if I just decided to give Facebook a break for, I don't know, a year.
Which is really interesting, isn't it? Yeah. So I suppose the message there is just because that's something that you personally might not agree with.
No, you're trying to put yourself in the shoes of your audience. Mm. And, I mean, I do look at Facebook as a looking to see what people are doing point of view. So mm-hmm. if we're not on there, you know, people aren't going to see us. Yeah, so look at what's working. Do gather information from people. Don't just guess whether they liked your conference or whether they thought that workshop was great. You know, don't just rely on what you think. Ask them, get that feedback.
And I think that feedback, those insights, data, whatever you want to call it, is so crucial now when it comes to your funding applications. You know, you might have where you've got to provide evidence of the impact that, you know, you or your organisation is making out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that the beauty of the online world is that you can get data, you can get information. Bearing in mind it doesn't tell the whole story. It just tells you perhaps who engaged, who clicked, who maybe they wrote some feedback to you.
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess there's the next stage from that. If they came to the workshop, wrote that they enjoyed the workshop, that doesn't tell you whether they actually took the learnings from the workshop and applied that in their workplace. So there's still a next stage.
Yeah.
Yeah,
most definitely. And look, we're nearly out of time, but I know you've got one more don't do there that you want to just share with everyone.
Okay, so it's don't overpromise. It can be tempting to say yes to everything, to say, yes, we can do that, or yes, I have the time. But it's about being clear and realistic. So for us, about what community Waikato can provide, especially around the funding support that we have. Don't direct people to the funding that we manage for the Tyndall Fund if we know that they don't meet the criteria, because that's not helpful to people.
Yeah.
Just because you're wanting to be a yes person. Don't overpromise with our advisor capacity and our workshop availability. Sometimes we get oversubscribed for workshops and we want to just squish more people in the room. But yeah, it's about, okay, if we have too many people, maybe we just put on another workshop. That's a good situation to be in.
It is. So it's more around making sure you over-deliver rather than over-promise, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, there's been some fantastic insights there, Kim. So thank you very much. So a couple of key points before we do finish. Make sure you define the audience before you're creating your messaging. Make sure you're using the right channels. Ensure you know what your purpose and value is. What is your why of your organisation? Make sure you're looking at creating practical, helpful content. Track what is working and build relationships.
Great.
That's awesome. So thank you very much, Kim. That is all for today. Ka kite, everyone.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.